Next case on the docket is 8619. This is an application of Continental Resources for an order creating a 1,280-acre drilling unit in sections 2 and 11.
Hello?
Now just hang on, Jim.
Sections 2 and 11, 14299 Billings County. All parties interested in case 8619, please come forward.
Mr. Examiner Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 400, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing in this matter, case 8619, on behalf of Continental Resources, Inc. Mr. Examiner, we're going to have three witnesses in case 8619, 20, 21, 22, and 23. We plan on grouping 19, 20, and 21 as one group of exhibits, and then 22 and 23 is another group of exhibits. So if we consolidate these matters, we can expedite the hearing process.
Okay. We will consolidate cases 8619, 20, 21, 22, and 23 for the purposes of hearing. Case 8620 seeks an order extending the field boundaries and amending the field rules for the St. Demetrius Bakken Pool to create three 1,280-acre spacing unit, comprised of sections 3 and 10, 4 and 9, 5 and 8, 14199 Billings County. 8621 seeks an order creating a 1,280-acre drilling unit in sections 18 and 19, 14198 Billings County. 8622 seeks a 1,280-acre drilling unit comprised of sections 3 and 10, 15995 Williams County. And 8623 seeks to extend the field boundaries and amend the field rules for the Sadler Bakken Pool and or the Dolphin Bakken Pool to create two 1,280-acre spacing units comprised of sections 15 and 22 and 16 and 21 in 16195 Divide County. Lawrence, who are your witnesses?
Jim Cannon in land, Neil Olson, geology, and Mike Husband, engineering.
Okay. Mr. Cannon, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you promise to tell the truth in all of these cases?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Jim, I'm handing out the exhibits, so it'll just be a few more moments. Mr. Examiner, as I've indicated, while you've combined cases 8619 through 8623, for purpose of the exhibits, we've broken up them from case 8619 through 8621, and then cases 8622 and 8623 have another packet of exhibits. I'd like to start first with the exhibits for case 8619 and 86 through 8621, and my first witness is Jim Cannon. Jim, would you state your name for the record, please, and spell your last name?
Yes, my name is Jim Cannon, and it's C-A-N-O-N.
And Jim, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm employed by Continental Resources as a regional land manager.
And Jim, have you testified before the commission on previous occasions?
Yes, I have.
Have you had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert?
Yes.
And in preparation for these consolidated matters, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant land matters?
Yes, I have.
And have you prepared or had prepared under your control and supervision exhibits that you intend to sponsor?
Yes.
Have you satisfied yourself as to the accuracy of those exhibits?
Yes, I have.
Offer the further testimony of this witness as that of an expert.
Motion granted.
Jim, let's turn first to the packet of exhibits for case 8619 through 8621. Let's go to Exhibit L1. Tell us what that is.
Yes, Exhibit L1 is a general locator map which outlines in red the proposed request of Continental Resources for three 1,280-acre spacing units and two 1,280-acre drilling units located in Billings County, North Dakota.
Okay, Jim, to give everyone just a little bit better idea of where these spacing and drilling units are located in relationship to existing fields, let's turn to one of the geologic exhibits, G2. And I'm going to have you just briefly discuss on G2 where your proposed spacing units and drilling units lie. Just give us a moment to get there. Okay, let's go to G2, Jim. Tell us what that is.
On Exhibit G2, I would like to identify for the board the following items. These sections, which are outlined in solid blue on this exhibit, represent the current outline of St. Demetrius Field. These sections, which are shaded by crosshatches, are the currently approved 1,280-acre drilling units. These sections, which are outlined in by a dashed blue line, represents the application by Headington Oil Limited Partnership under the previous case number 8615 for an order to extend the field boundaries of St. Demetrius Field to create three 1,280-acre spacing units. And also the sections shaded in yellow and also outlined by a dashed blue line represents Continental's application under case number 8620 for an order extending the St. Demetrius Field so as to create three 1,280-acre spacing units. Finally, the fourth section shaded in yellow on this exhibit represents the two proposed 1,280-acre drilling units requested by Continental under case number 8619 and 8621.
And the only reason those were requested as drilling units is because they're not immediately adjacent to the field boundaries of St. Demetrius. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Let's go back now to the land exhibits. Exhibit L2. Can you briefly describe what that is?
This exhibit L2 is a detailed land plat of all of sections 2 and 11 of 142 North, Range 99 West, ownership and number of tracts which comprise the proposed unit. Continental's working interest in the proposed unit would be 73.34%.
And this is the drilling unit you're proposing for the area just north and east of the St. Demetrius Field, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, let's go to then exhibit L2A.
L2A is also a detailed land plat which reflects all of sections 3 and 10 of Township 141 North, Range 99 West. This plat reflects the ownership of a number of tracts which comprise the proposed spacing unit. Continental's working interest in this proposed unit would be 75%.
And this is in the area immediately to the south of the lands that Headington is proposing to bring into the field, is that correct? Did you hear my question, Jim?
Yes, I did, and that is correct.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Exhibit L2B.
Exhibit L2B is a detailed land plat of all of Sections 4 and 9, Township 141 North, Range 99 West, which reflects the ownership and number of tracts which comprise the proposed spacing unit. Continental's working interest in this proposed unit would be 72.68%.
And once again, immediately south to the lands Headington is proposing to bring into the field.
That is correct.
Okay, and L2C?
Exhibit L2C is a detailed land plat which reflects the ownership, the number of tracts that comprise all of Sections 5 and 8, Township 141 North, Range 99 West. Continental's working interest in this proposed unit would be 73.34%.
And then finally, L2 for case 8621.
Exhibit L2 is a detailed land plat of all sections 18 and 19 of Township 141 North, Range 98 West. This also reflects the ownership and number of tracts which comprise the proposed drilling unit. Continental's working interest in this proposed unit would be 56.28%.
All the questions I have for the land witness.
Any staff questions?
Jim, Lynn Helms here. I was looking at your exhibit L2A, and I noticed that the working interests are common between all the tracts. Is the division of this spacing unit or drilling unit into tracts as well as the others based on diverse mineral ownership?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thanks.
Further questions? Mr. Olson, your next witness?
Yes, he is.
Mr. Olson, are you there?
I am.
Do you promise to tell the truth in these cases? Do you promise to tell the truth in these cases?
Yes.
Thank you.
Neil, you there?
Yes, I am.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
My name is
Neil Olsen. My last name is spelled O-L-E-S-E-N.
And Neil, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
By Continental Resources as a senior geologist.
And you've testified before the commission previously, have you not?
Yes.
Had your qualifications accepted? Is that of an expert?
Yes, they have.
And in preparation for these consolidated matters, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant geologic matters concerning the requests?
Yes.
And have you prepared exhibits you intend to sponsor?
Yes.
Have you satisfied yourself as to the accuracy of those exhibits?
Yes.
Offer the further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Neil, let's turn to Exhibit G1 in Case 8619 through 8621. Tell us what that is. I'm sorry, Neil. I think I want to take the exhibits out of order. Let's go to G2 first. Same question. Tell us what the exhibit is and what's contained upon it.
Exhibit G2 is the geologic structure map on the top of the Bakken Nation. In addition to that, it shows the four spacing units or drilling units that we are requesting, and they are highlighted in yellow. In addition to that, we indicate the outline of St. Demetrius Field, the proposed extension by Headington, and then the extended area that we are requesting in section 5 and 8, 4 and 9, and 3 and 10. In addition to that, we've got the wells that were drilled that are Bakken producers highlighted in green. And we will, on the next exhibit, look at a cross-section, which is highlighted on this exhibit, which is the line of cross-section is shown to be A to A prime, which runs essentially north-south.
All right, let's turn back then to what's been marked as Exhibit G1, which is the cross-section that you identified on Exhibit G2, and tell us why this cross-section is important to your request, specifically with respect to the three 1280s that you're requesting be brought into the field.
Yes, this is a stratigraphic cross-section hunted on the top of the Bakken. The significance of this exhibit is to show the uniform and contiguous nature of the stratigraphy in the Bakken formation. You'll note on the cross-section that the upper Bakken is continuous across the area, and likewise the middle Bakken is as well. And in our opinion, it would represent a common source of supply across the entire area. And lastly, in the area that's highlighted in red or a light pink, that would represent our target zone in the middle Bakken member.
Now, Neil, when you say this represents a common source of supply in the area, are you suggesting that if these applications are granted and Continental has an opportunity to drill in the 31280s immediately to the south of St. Demetrius Field, those wells will produce from the same common source and supply as the existing Headington wells to the north?
That is correct.
That's all the questions I have for Mr. Olson.
Any questions from the staff for Mr. Olson? Is your next witness Mr. Husband?
Yes.
Mr. Husband, are you there?
Yes.
Do you promise to tell the truth in these cases?
Yes.
Mike, could you state your name for the record, please?
Mike Husband. Last name is spelled H-U-S-B-A-N-D.
And Mike, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
By Continental Resources as a reservoir engineer.
And you've testified before the commission on previous occasions, have you not?
Yes, I have.
And you've had your qualifications accepted as that of an expert? And in preparation for these consolidated matters, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant engineering matters concerning the requests?
I have.
And have you prepared or had prepared under your control and supervision exhibits that you intend to sponsor?
Yes, I have.
And have you satisfied yourself as to the accuracy of those exhibits?
They are accurate.
Okay. Offer the further testimony, this witness is that of an expert.
Motion granted.
Mike, let's go to the packet of exhibits for case 8619 through 8621. Let's turn first to what's been marked as Exhibit E1. Tell us what that exhibit is.
Exhibit E1 is the tentative well bore path for the Natalie 111H, located in sections 11 and 2 of 142 North and 99 West.
That's the proposed drilling unit to the north and east of the St. Demetrius Field, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, continue, please.
Okay, basically this well shows as a surface location in section 11. It's drilled directionally down into the target interval, at which time the wellbore becomes horizontal, and we continue drilling another 800 feet and then begin moving the well path up to the north-northeast to where it ends in the at the location of 160 from the north line and 2280 from the east line. In this well bore at the interval at the bottom or the in the desired reservoir, which is approximately 3 feet from the north line and 704 from the west line, we set a whipstock and we will drill the second lateral at that point, and it will go into the section 11.
All right, let's go to Exhibit E1A in case 8620.
It's basically the same format as the Natalie. This exhibit is for the Xavier 1-3H. Virtually the same wellbore trajectory as in the Natalie.
And that's for one of the spacing units that you're proposing to be brought into the St. Demetrius Field, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and E1B for case 8620.
That's the tentative wellbore path for the Yvette 1-4H. Again, virtually identical to the previous two wellbore trajectory plans.
Okay, and then E1C?
This is the tentative plan for the Sarah 1-5H.
Okay.
Except for slight orientations of which section we begin, whether it goes north or south, it's virtually identical to the previous exhibits.
And then E1 for case 8621.
This is the wellbore trajectory for the Gloria 1-19H. The slight differences in this trajectory, it begins on the eastern edge of section 19 and moves.
I'm sorry, I missed the last part of what you said, Mike.
It's virtually a mirror image of the previous exhibits.
Okay. And then finally, let's go to Exhibit E2 for cases 8619 through 8621.
This is the general summary of the composite of the average effects of the wellbore projects that we have in this group exhibits. And this shows the basic general reservoir parameters for this area and in the St. Demetrius area, showing thickness of approximately 6 feet, porosity of about 7%. We're estimating average oil saturation in this area is about 75%. Taking the drainage area of 1280 and the reservoir volume factor, we estimate we've got about 2.6 million barrels of oil in the ground. Historically, we've been able to recover about 15% on primary recovery. Taking the GOR, we have 55. We have recoverable hydrocarbons of about 390,000 barrels of oil in this zone. The second grouping of data is the economic results. In general, for the investment, which we predicted $2.9 million, and with our average OPEX of about $3,500 a month, taking an initial rate of 300 barrels a day, we have economic reserves of about 390,000 barrels with and about 21 million cubic feet of gas. Predict the payout to be on these wells in this group to be a little over 2 years.
Mike, in your opinion, can the horizontal drilling technique be successfully utilized in this area?
Yes, it can.
And if it is successfully utilized, in your opinion, will it increase the ultimate recovery of the pool?
Yes, it will.
And in that respect, in your opinion, will it prevent waste?
Yes, it will prevent waste.
And will the proposed spacing pattern prevent the drilling of unnecessary wells and also protect relative rights?
Yes, it will.
So all the questions I have for this witness with respect to cases 86-19 through 86-21, and we would offer the exhibits discussed thus far in those cases.
Exhibits are received. Any questions from the staff for Mr. Husband?
Mike, this is Kelly Triple. I just wanted to clarify something. On each of these wells, the second lateral where that whipstock is set, is that in the wellbore where it's already turned and is at 90 degrees?
At that point where we set the whipstock, the well is horizontal. The wellbore is already horizontal.
Okay, thank you. And then on exhibit E1, I just wanted to point something out. The bottom hole locations for lateral 1 and lateral 2, the north one, lateral 1, says it's 2340 from the east line, and then lateral 2 it says 23 from the west line. Are they both supposed to be from the west line?
Which exhibit are you on?
The Gloria 119 on E1.
On the Gloria. Okay. On the Gloria, it should be, yes. Should be from the west line.
Okay, so that lateral number 1 should be 2340 from the west line then.
You're talking about the northern lateral?
Right.
Yep.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Mike, this is Mark Bohr. I had a question on four of the spacing or drilling units. The wells are orientated, I guess, facing to the east, if you want to call it that, and the last one's facing to the west. Why the difference in the orientation?
Just surface considerations, that's all.
Okay. I had another question as to why the laterals weren't drilled further to the west or east in the sections, why they weren't longer.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a balancing act. In part, we're trying a full planar program here for these wells, and in order to accomplish that, you tend to have to kind of balance the optimum trajectory, what we can accomplish without increasing our risk of losing equipped tools down the hole. So additional length. We increase our risk. Now, am I answering your question, or do you have a different direction you're looking?
Well, I guess if you drilled them, let's say, to the corners.
Well, to drill into the corner, I mean, we're optimizing our capacity here. I mean, that particular pattern, if we're looking at trying to balance the drainage for primary recovery, which simulations we've done thus far indicate that this particular pattern can drain that area. But if we also at some point want to move on and look at an enhanced oil recovery program, by drilling into the corners, we're limiting our ability to effectively increase our recovery factor with an EUR program.
Okay, thank you.
Mike, this is Bruce Hicks. I was looking at your feet of pay. You've got in your calculations an estimated 6 feet as your average thickness, and I assume that you're going to go in and fracture stimulate these wells. Do you believe that you're going to stay within this sweet spot?
That's what we're hoping. We're designing the frac so that they will.
And do you believe any of the other Middle Bakken would contribute to production in the well?
Well, I mean, it depends on your interpretation. We do have that idea that's a possibility.
The possibility that you may get contribution from other portions of the Middle Bakken, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. And on your exhibit E2, you've got a GOR of 55. Is that correct?
Yes, That's what we are determining from our production is a good average GUR for these. GOR, pardon me. These are just generalized numbers for this area. I mean, these are all tentative numbers, and then once we have production, then we can come back and do an evaluation on the full economics. We're just trying to keep these as general as possible to fit the format of the hearing.
Most of the upper Bakken shales that I remember were closer to 1,000 GOR. I was just curious if you've looked at the production from existing wells.
Yes.
Okay, and it's a very low GOR, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions from staff? Anything further, Lawrence?
Not with respect to 8619 through 8621.
Okay, let's go to 8622 and 23.
Okay. Jim, are you still there?
I am.
Okay, let's turn to the packet of exhibits for case 8622 through 8623. Let's go to exhibit L1. Tell us what that is.
Exhibit L1 is a general locator map which outlines in red the proposed request of Continental Resources for two 1,280-acre spacing units and one 1,200-acre drilling unit located in Divide in Williams County, North Dakota.
Okay, and now as you did in the previous cases, let's go to Exhibit G2 and just outline for the staff where these proposed spacing units and drilling units lie with respect to other spaced fields in the area.
Also on this exhibit G2, I would like to identify for the board the following items. The sections which are outlined in solid blue on this exhibit represent the current outlines of Sadler Field and Dolphin Field. The sections which are shaded in light gray are the currently approved Bakken drilling units, which are located in Section 17 of Township 161 North, Range 95 West, Section 19 of Township 161 North, Range 94 West, and Sections 2 and 11, Sections 6 and 7, Sections 14 and 23, and Sections 16 and 21 of Township 160 North, Range 95 West. The four sections, which are shaded in yellow, which adjoin the Sadler Field, Dolphin Field, represents Continental's application under case number 8623 for an order extending these fields so as to create 1,280-acre spacing units. Finally, sections 3 and 10 of Township 159 North, Range 95 West, which is also shaded in yellow on this exhibit, represents the one proposed 1,280-acre drilling unit requested by Continental under case number 8622.
All right, Jim, now let's go back to the land exhibits, exhibit L2. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes. Exhibit L2 is a detailed land plat which reflects the ownership and numbering tracts which comprise the proposed drilling unit. Continental's working interest in this proposed unit would be 91.41%.
Now, you said Continental's working interest would be 91.41%. You have the ownership listed as Joliet Oil. That's an affiliate of Continental Resources. Is that correct?
Is correct.
And Continental would be operating these wells for Joliet. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Let's go to Exhibit L2A.
Exhibit L2 is also a detailed land plat. This reflects all of Sections 15 and 22. It reflects the ownership and number of tracts of the proposed spacing unit. Joliet's working interest in this proposed unit would be 83.33%.
And then the final land exhibit, exhibit L2B, tell us what that is.
It's also similar to the other L2 plats. It's also a detailed land plat. It reflects all of sections 16 and 21. Reflects the ownership and number of tracts which comprise this proposed spacing unit. Joliet's working interest in this proposed unit would be 80.51%.
No further questions for the land witness.
Staff questions? Call your next witness.
Neil, are you still there? Neil?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have in front of you a packet of exhibits for case 8622 and 8623?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Let's turn to exhibit G2 in case 8622 and 8623. Tell us what that exhibit is and what's contained upon it. And there's no reason to testify as to those matters that Jim has already discussed on this exhibit.
Exhibit G2 is a geologic structure map on the top of the Bakken. We've got gentle dip to the south. There's two structural features you'll notice that trend north-south also. They're part of the Nesson Anticline complex. And finally, there are green dots that identify previous vertical Bakken production. And also, I've got a cross-section highlighted A to A primed, which we'll review on the next exhibit. Okay. And it will show that the nature of the middle Bakken member.
Okay, let's go to the next exhibit, which has been marked as a G1. Tell us what that is, Neil.
Is a stratigraphic cross on the top of the Bakken. We've got upper Bakken identified, middle Bakken member, and lower Bakken. All three are present. The nature of the Bakken here is extremely uniform. And lastly, the area highlighted in pink is our target zone for our horizontal well.
And Neil, in your opinion, does this target zone, as you have it depicted on Exhibit G1, does it extend into those areas of Section 15 and 22 and 16 and 21 that you're proposing that the Commission include into the Sadler Bakken pool?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And in your opinion, if wells are drilled in Section 16 and 21, and 15 and 22, will they produce from the same common source of supply as the currently producing Joliet well in Section 17?
Yes, it will.
That's all the questions I have for the geologic witness.
Any questions for Mr. Olson? Next witness.
Mike?
Yes.
Let's turn to the packet of exhibits for case 8621 and, I'm sorry, is it 8622 and 8623. Let's go to exhibit E1 first. Tell us what that is.
This exhibit is a tentative wellbore trajectory for the Danielle 1-10H. This well, the surface location is located in section 10. It's drilled directionally down to the Bakken. At which time it's now a horizontal in direction. Continue on out another 800 feet. We set the casing and then continue with the direction in the directional on the first lateral up into section 3, where the final location the lateral is located 660 from the north line and 2280 from the east line.
And
at the when it's entered the Bakken section, we set the whipstock, and at that point we kick off the second lateral and continue it into the section 10.
Okay. And as a follow-up to Mr. Bohr's question, this wellbore configuration, at such time, if there was ever any secondary recovery operations out there, it would give you an opportunity to drill a second well. Is that correct?
Yes, it will.
Okay, let's go to the next exhibit, exhibit E1A.
E1A is a busy well board plan or trajectory for the Shauna 2H.
Okay, and exhibit E1B.
Exhibit 1B is the tentative well bore plan for the Bliss 126H.
Okay, and then finally, exhibit E2.
E2 is a summary of the economics and reservoir parameters for this package of wells. The average thickness in this area is about 9 feet with the slight reduction in porosity compared to the previous. It's down to 6%. Using the same reservoir values of oil saturation, drainage area of 1,280 acres, and the formation volume factor, we have approximately 3.3 million barrels of oil in place. using our standard, the 15% recovery factor and a GOR 55, we estimate that each well has approximately 500,000 barrels of oil to recover. Using the same economics we estimate in this area as in previous of 2.9 million, same OPEX, with initial rate of 300 barrels a day, in this package of wells, we have approximately 440,000 barrels of oil in economic reserves and 24 million cubic feet. We pays out just at 2 years.
And Mike, as I asked in the previous cases, in your opinion, can the horizontal drilling technique, in your opinion, be successfully utilized in this area generally and specifically in the areas of your proposed spacing unit and drilling unit?
Yes, they will.
And in your opinion, if the horizontal drilling technique is successfully utilized, will it increase the ultimate recovery of the pool?
Yes, it will.
And in that respect, will it prevent waste?
It will prevent the waste.
And in your opinion, will it also protect relative rights and prevent the drilling of unnecessary wells?
Yes, it will.
Mr. Examiner, that's all the questions I have for this witness. As we did before, we'd offer all of the exhibits that were identified in cases 8622 and 8623.
Exhibits are received. Questions for Mr. Husband?
Mike, this is Bruce Hicks. I was looking at your exhibit E2, and you only show a thickness of 9 feet, although in your cross-section it appears that there could be a considerable amount greater than that would actually affect in that you would drain from. Is this just a certain porosity zone that you're looking at, or how did you come up with the 9 feet?
In part, just a kind of a judgment call, what we think is going to be what we actually will be able to produce, maybe net pay, best porosity zone. I mean, look, these are average numbers for this area. I mean, at this point, we're coming up with good numbers to come to justify, or the best numbers we can to explain the economics and come up with a good prospect. Since we have the well drilled, then we can.
Mike, is this a sandstone you're drilling in?
Yes.
And would you expect your fractures when you stimulate the well to extend throughout the entire sandstone?
That is possible.
How are you going to design your frack?
Well, we have several different designs in hands now, and once we drill the wells and have the logs analyzed, then we can better fine-tune those fracks. But at this point, it's a little premature to predict what kind of frack program we're going to have.
Will it be different from the original well in the Sadler field?
At this point, our frack methods have improved since that well was fractured, stimulated.
You had indicated that there may be some secondary recovery potential in this area, is that correct? Is it your plan to drill all these wells parallel, with parallel well bores?
As much as possible.
Okay, and the second well that you indicated that you could drill, that was upon unitization and I assume drilling across section lines and so forth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mike, this is Lynn Helms. I noticed that in your economics you again used a gas oil ratio of 55. We heard a case earlier this morning just south of here where the operator was using 700. Is this just an average that you're using over all your wells in North Dakota, or is this based on production there in Sadler?
This is as best we can, I mean, we try to focus, allow that to stay in the area, but it's, we're using our full database to come up with that GOR.
So that's an average of everything?
Yes. I mean, even if that this is a conservative number, if the GOR is higher, then obviously we'll gain more revenue from the gas stream.
Okay.
Further questions? Anything further on these cases, Lawrence?
I have nothing further, Mr. Examiner.
Okay, that concludes the hearing in cases 86-19 through 86-23.